Now, praise the Lord. I got this magic box over here on my side. Take your Bibles and go to the book of John, if you would, this morning. John chapter 11. And everybody's heading back to school. It's back to school Sunday on our buses and our Sunday school classes. And I know that that doesn't mean to most of you other than, thank God I don't have to go back to school. Amen. Except for the teachers. I'm sorry for you. Amen. And but I do appreciate you. I am thankful. I've been blessed this morning by the music. I mean, I don't know about you, but I just, I think I'm going to take a minute to testify this morning. Amen. I may cry this morning, but let me tell you this morning that I'm so glad that I'm saved. I know that I know that I know that I'm on my way to heaven. And listen, it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not anything that I did. I'm blessed this morning because I have children that are in church this morning. I'm blessed because I have a beautiful wife that loves me and is saved and on her way to heaven. I'm blessed because I'm in the best church in the United States of these U.S. of A. There ain't no place like this place, folks. I spent some time looking at other ones, and there ain't no place like this place. I'm blessed because I have the best pastor in America. And I miss him this morning. Let me tell you this, Mrs. Carter, if you would, I'm going to say that it's my preacher's birthday at the end of this week. Am I right on Friday? Is it Friday, Miss Carter, for sure? All right. Oh, she didn't know. she didn't want to tell. She didn't want to be the one he says, did you tell? Amen. But it is. And so if you'd be my friend and just dote on your preacher, write him a note, stick it to his door, do something. He's not only my friend, but he's my preacher, and I love him, and I hope you love him like I do, and that you'll write him a note, and that you'll tell him how much you appreciate him. I'm not going to tell you how young he is, all right, but every place, every church across America wish they had him as their pastor this morning, and you're blessed with him. And let me tell you, if you just write him a note, do something for him, and if he asks who told him that, tell him it was Brother Perkins. All right. All right. Let me just say this morning, I am thankful. I haven't had a chance to preach. I've been gone, and to say thank you to everyone that helped us at camp. And it was my pleasure to be out there, and I did lose my voice, so I'm thankful for everyone who stepped up and did whatever it was. Thankful for Joe. If you're listening, Joe, thank you so much for taking care of the garbage and all the things. Everybody had a part. People got saved out there. Young people surrendered to the ministry. Whether you believe it or not, should Lord Terry is coming, there's another generation on its way. As the years click by for me and my teenagers, who many of them are in the building today, and I get to look at them and they have to hear me again. And they're not teenagers anymore. They're young adults that are serving the Lord, and they're in different places. And listen, before long, if the Lord don't come quickly, amen, they'll be the ones running the joint, amen. And praise the Lord for it, that there's some that are coming behind us, amen, that they have a godly heritage to follow. In our preacher and all the leaders, our deacons, thank you for all your service. Listen, I'm just blessed this morning. I'm blessed to be in this place and listen and do what God called me to do. Let me say this. Thank you, church, for letting me serve here. This is home for us now. And I'm just glad to be here. I'm just glad to be smack dab in the middle of God's will and know it, and get to do what God called me to do and preach. And some of you are grinning, but you think I'm just saying it, but really, it's in my heart. It's all of me. I'm just so glad to be able to do what God called me to do in the place that He called me to do it and know those things. There are a lot of people that wish they knew that. There are a lot of people wish that they didn't mess that up. And I'm just thankful today. Church, thank you. Amen. Thank you for every one of you that went to work this week and did what you knew was right to do and was a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ wherever you're at. Thank you for being here in God's house, knowing where you ought to be. Listen, sometimes we just get unthankful. We ought to be thankful people. God has blessed us so much. And on top of that, He gave us a word that every Sunday when we come, there's brand new blessings for us. Something brand new out of His word. Amen. Let's talk to Him if you would. If you have John chapter 11, I want to pray, and then we'll dive into the message this morning. And hopefully the Lord, what He laid on my heart, what He blessed me with, will be a blessing to you this morning. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I do thank you for your many blessings. Oh, Lord, I know that those words of thankfulness, dear Lord, I pray that you'd help God's people to know that everything I meant, that wasn't trying to be showy, but I love these people. I love this place. I love your church. I love my preacher. I pray you bless him today. I pray you give him power right now. Dear God, I pray that you use me as your vessel, dear God. I surrender myself one more time to do what you've called me to do. I pray you'd let me just step out of the way and that the Holy Spirit of God would preach a message that would help God's people. I pray if there's one that's in this place that does not know Christ, that today would be the day of salvation for them. We'll ask and we'll beg you in Jesus' name. Amen. Back to school. Amen. John chapter 11, this is a familiar passage. I'm going to get to preaching now and wipe the tears, okay? I'm going to separate, amen, for just a minute. John chapter 11 is a familiar area of Scripture. Lazarus has died by the time we're going to start in verse about 18. And Lazarus has, and it's been confusing to the disciples because Jesus told them that he was sleeping. Can you imagine how that was? Then he told them plainly that he had died. And then they came to a place where Thomas is like a lot of us, amen. He goes, yeah, let's go so we can die also, amen. And amazingly to me, you know, they get there and now you have two contrasts of these ladies, and it's amazing how the two ladies differ as they get to Jesus, as Jesus arrives and how it goes on. But if back to school, as a Christian, I want to take you back to school. If you're here and you know you're on your way to heaven, listen, yeah, I want you to understand that, you know, I'm this way. I hope that you're this way. I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And every one of us, preacher just preached a message not too long ago about being fitly together, that all of us can't be the eye and all of us can't be the ear. All of us can't be the hand. We can't be the feet. All of us are different. But it's important for the church to have all those pieces so it can go on and move on for the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever piece that you take up, I hope that you take it seriously. But one thing that'll hurt us as a ministry is if we start wanting to be something else or we get sore because one of the other pieces isn't doing what it ought to do. And we can get that way. You know, we can get so focused on what somebody else ain't doing that we won't do what we're supposed to do. We'll get so sore that someone else isn't performing to their optimal ability. Our focus isn't on picking up the slack in the meanwhile and carrying on and trying to make sure that the body, that the ministry or the mission of the church doesn't go on. And so listen here, there's two contrasting people, and one is a working mindset, and we haven't even gotten to the place where Mary and Martha are going to, Martha's working and Mary's sitting, but we all know that that's their style. But you'll see it here in the scripture. Here, Lazarus is dying. Both of them are mourning. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of things. Listen, as good as we've gotten and as good as the building boom and jobs are right now, we still have a lot of things to mourn in our country. I drove through town yesterday, and there were people out holding signs about abortion. Do you know that still goes on every day in our country? It's still sin. God still hates it. God's still against America. Just because there's prosperity and there's houses going up and money is flowing, listen, can I tell you, we're still wicked. Sin is still all around us. People still need Jesus, and we still need to be after this thing called the gospel, about telling people about Jesus, and we are. But listen, we got to be careful that we don't get messed up along the way. Here, I want to read some of it. Verse number 18, we're going to read a lot of scripture today, and I've already taken a little bit of my time. So if I go a little bit fast, those of you that can't listen fast, please just record it or watch it later, okay? And so verse 18, I'll try to slow down for some of you. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And I love this. Verse 25, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Listen, folks, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, listen, we're going to take a picture of Martha and what's going on in her life. But let me say this. Let me first show you the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Jesus that they're both speaking to. And Jesus takes just a moment to let her know. He makes the statement, I am. That statement there was a very profound statement in naming who he was, that he was God. And he goes beyond that, just telling her who he was and that he was not only man, 100% man and 100% God, but he said, I am the resurrection. Listen, let me tell you, if anyone rises out of the grave, it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the resurrection. If there's any hope in our resurrection or rising again, it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am the resurrection. And then he goes on to this, and this is what I wanted to make key, because every one of us have one of these. He says, I am the life. Now, I know for most of you Bible scholars that want to, you'll kick me later or talk about me bad, and you'll pick it to pieces. Listen, you'll say the life, he's talking about eternal life. And I would agree with you there. And those of you that say, well, he's talking about the Christian life, I'd agree with you there. But I just want to tell you, I've watched a lot of this world live their life the way they think fit. But when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, in another passage of scripture there, the life, there isn't any life outside of Jesus. I've seen how people live without him, and it isn't much of a life. He's the life. I'm here to tell you this morning, listen, I don't know. I just told you how good I got it in this life, but all of that, there's no good in me save the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a bunch of people trying to live life. And the sad part, and let me focus on it. If you're lost and you're here today and you don't know Jesus as Savior, let me tell you, listen, if you have any hope of heaven, it will be because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you today, listen, if you want to have any kind of happy days from here on out, it'll be because of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and him becoming your life. Listen, it's his focus, his way, his will. But listen, the problem is, this is where we mess up. We live in a day and age of prosperity to a certain extent, and we try to mix the world's mentality of the life with the life that Jesus is speaking of here. And you can't have both and be happy. See, Jesus and Pastor preached a little bit on this, and I'm trying to tie a little bit of that together, but he was preaching on you can't serve two masters because you'll love the one and you'll hate the other. Do you know that's just the way it is? You can't serve two. You can't be happy. Listen, you're going to cling to the one and you're going to hate the other. That's why you can't have two wives. You love the one, and I'm just, anyway, I didn't mean to get off on that. Anyway, so, you didn't know that was, anyway, let me, I really want to have dinner later on today, so I won't get into any more of that. But anyway, John chapter 11, here Martha comes first, and Jesus is, all the backstory, he's on his way, now he's arrived. Martha goes out to meet him, and Martha comes up to him, and her response to Jesus, what she says to him, and what, listen now, the difference between the two, they almost sound exactly alike, but the difference is their position. It's more about their emotion. That's what's different between the two. And then Jesus' response is definitely different. See, Jesus says, she says, Lord, if you hadn't been here, look at it with me. He says this in verse 20, she says in verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee. Now listen, her position, she comes to Jesus. Can you see how she comes? She comes running to Jesus. She says, Lord, if you'd been here, he hadn't have died. And then we're going to read Martha's or Mary's side of the story, and we're going to see the difference between the two. But look at it with me as we read on. After Jesus talks about his response to Martha and her coming, and she just runs up and she kind of puts her finger in Jesus' face and tells him, listen, we called for you. You didn't show up. You're late. My brother died. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. And then Jesus tries to explain to her, listen, I'm here. It's not too late. I am the resurrection and the life. And she goes on. Listen, now she had been taught, you know, there's two groups of people. There's Pharisees and there's Sadducees. She was definitely one of the Pharisees. She fell on the Pharisee side. She definitely believed that Jesus, that there was going to be a resurrection. See, she just didn't see the cross and all the things that were going to happen. She didn't see how that Jesus right then and there could raise her brother up from the dead. Let me tell you, she didn't see all that. So she's looking down the road going, Lord, I know you're the resurrection. I know there's going to be a day. I know. I've heard the preaching. I know all about that. Listen, we can be that way as Christians sometimes. Rather than just taking Jesus by faith at what he said and listen, just coming to him the way he is. Listen, we're going to be doctrinal with Jesus. Y'all ever pray? You ever heard anybody pray that way? Dr. Bradley, you heard him pray. They start praying like God doesn't know what he got in his own book. Now, God, you told me, you said this.
Listen, and listen, we get so we're going to tell God what he already knows or what he penned down in heaven forever, and we're going to argue with God. God, you said this, so I'm going to throw it up in your face. And that's where Martha's at here. Martha comes to God in the flesh and says, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus says, listen, I am the resurrection and the life. I can do it. I know you can do it later. I know you're going to do it down the road. I know that he's not really dead, that he's just sleeping, but that ain't helping me right now. That's kind of where she was at and kind of the attitude that she came to Christ. But then Jesus, she finishes the conversation there. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, in verse 27, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, rather than staying around to see what happened, she takes off. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she had heard that, she arose. Now Mary arises quickly and come unto him. Verse 29. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was where? At the place that Martha had met him. Verse 31. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily, went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. Verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. The exact same thing that Martha said. Can you tell that they're sisters? My wife has a twin. I'm not going to get into that either today. But anyway, the two young ladies come to Jesus, and one from a position in his face and says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And one falls to his feet weeping and says, Lord, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And I think to myself, what a difference in the position and even the reaction from the Lord Jesus. You know that he doesn't go into, I'm the resurrection and the life. He doesn't repeat what he's already said to Martha. Look what he says. Look what happens. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? Listen, the same God that says, I am the resurrection and the life, that same God that told her so that he could comfort her that I can raise him from the dead, the same God that looked at Martha and said, listen, I can get it done if you just hold up a minute. Listen, the same God, every time I've read in the Old Testament, when his people got right with him and he got to moving and got into action to taking care of the problems in their lives, it was never when they were in his face saying, God, why'd you let us go into captivity? God, why did you let this happen to us? God, why did you do this? God, why did you do that? Listen, I believe wholeheartedly that people that sit in churches today, rather than coming to God weeping, that the eye or the feet or the hand or some other piece of the church is not functioning the way that it ought to, rather than coming to God weeping, we come to God complaining. What about this eye? God, if you hadn't have given me this person, God, if you hadn't have done this, God, if it wasn't for this person, we could really be doing something down at Landmark. Instead of falling on our face and saying, God, help me help them. God, would you just heal them? God, would you just help them along? Can I tell you today, listen, we live in a world and in a day and age where it's disposable mentality. Throw everything away. Move on to the next. This isn't going to work. Get another TV. Get another thing. You know, there used to be a place that was called like a TV repairman. You know, they used to have one of them. When was the last time anybody ever took their TV to get it fixed? Most of the time today, I mean, if you want to just put it in perspective for yourself, most of the time now when your flat screen quits, you just throw it in the garbage and go to Walmart and get another one. Used to be, you took that big box on wheels and you tried to get three people to help you put it in the back of the car and you took it somewhere to get it fixed. But we are. We're that way. We've come to a place where we're throwaway mentality in our lives, and we do it with Christians too. We do it with other believers and brothers. Can I tell you, listen, and you know what happens? Sometimes it's because we get so focused on the work of what needs to be done. Can I tell you, I'm not saying I'm not guilty. I'm guilty. God spoke to my own heart about this. I want you to understand this morning, listen, that we need to come to God and say, God, if you could just touch this person, weeping, God, could you help them? God, I'm helpless to do anything about this. Can you see these two ladies coming to Jesus Christ? I can't believe this. I mean, walking down there and saying, one of them, Martha, walking up and saying, Lord, I know you're the Christ. And you, if you had been here, you could have taken care of this. How many times, listen, how many times have we been guilty of coming to God that way? Because we get so caught up in the work and getting busy with all the work of our day and the work of our lives and the busyness of everything that's going on. And that work mentality, listen, and the difference is, Martha was, you can't read the scripture and not say that Martha was a worker. I mean, Martha was a worker. She got things done. Every time you see Martha, she's working. You see Mary, she's sitting. Every time you see Martha, she's getting things done for the master. And every time you find Mary, she's at his feet. Then can I tell you today, listen, for the New Testament Christian, in Jesus' day, predating the cross, if Jesus was here this morning, the rest of the work can go to pieces. I would be at Jesus' feet. But now that Jesus is in heaven, he's given us a comforter to live inside of us. I don't have to lay at his feet. I just have to lay my heart at his feet. I have to lay my will at his feet. I have to lay everything that I am down to his will and his way. But listen, the Old Testament way of, listen, he said Mary chose the right thing to be with him because she was only going to be with him for a little time. Can I tell you today, we get so caught up with the work, sometimes when we approach Christ in this New Testament age, we approach him like Martha does. If you'd have been here, you'd have got it done. We approach other people in the church like Martha did Mary. Lord, tell her to get up and help me. What she's doing is not near as important as what I'm doing. Tell her to get up and get at it. Come on. And Jesus tells Martha then that Mary chose the better thing. Listen, can I tell you today? You need to be a worker, okay? I do realize I'm preaching to a mess of workers because of the church that I'm in today. Listen, but we need to work. Some of you, listen, the work might not be the same as my work. You know, we ran the bus this morning and we had knocked doors yesterday. We did some different things. Some of you, listen, your work is prayer warrior now. I mean, we made it back yesterday with the vans and the buses and all the things that we did. We made it in today because you were praying. You prayed us out of something. Can I tell you, listen, every piece of the church is worthwhile and the work is worth doing. But listen, you know, if we don't have a walk with God, can I share, look at what Mary said here. Mary comes to God weeping. It says, and the Jews weeping also, which came with her. And he groaned in his spirit and he said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. It breaks the heart of God. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaned in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Now listen what Martha does. How many of you and I are just like Martha? See the difference, the contrast? One weeping, coming to God, just hopeless. And the other, Martha says, the sister of him that was dead saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. I believe, number one, that Jesus knew that he was thinking. But he knew what he was fixing to do. Can I tell you today, so many times, listen, we get so focused on the work. Rather than telling God and praising the Lord, he says, roll the stone back. Something good's about to happen in this place. Amen. We say, you can't do that. We can't do that. Listen, how would it be if the church said, we can't do that? We got to be careful that we don't get an attitude. Listen, and this isn't the only big thing that God wants a church to do. Hey, can I tell you today? You say, well, Brother Parsons, don't be talking about money. Listen, I'm not begging you for money. I'm just saying, listen, what if God said, I want to see that many souls won to Christ? You know that many souls live in this area? And what would our first thing be? We can't do that. Would that be our attitude, or we'd fall on our feet weeping and say, God, how can we do it? God, I can't do it in my own strength. God, could you help me do it? Listen, Martha said, he stinks. By now he stinks, Lord. Why would we roll back the stone now? I know you're going to raise him up in the end day, but don't roll the stone off now because he smells bad. No, and Mary's still weeping. And I know, can I say Martha's position was talking with Jesus face to face? Martha's faith was out of focus. She saw Jesus, but she saw him, listen, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords someday, not today. I'm working for down the road, not for him today. Not only was her faith out of focus, but her emotions. Do you know that she had her emotions? Can you imagine? I mean, I'm not saying she was mean to Jesus. I don't believe that at all. I just believe she came and talked to him just like he was anybody else. Hey, this morning, I had to gather myself to get ready to preach because of how good God is to me. Do you know we're real good about keeping our emotions? I see a few of you every once in a while raise your hand. Some of you move to the altar when God moves in your heart. Can I tell you, it's all right to get emotional about the things of God. And I don't have time to preach a message on you'll scream at the ball game, or you'll throw something at the TV when your team doesn't do something right, or when your NASCAR driver crashes, or whatever it is that you follow. But can I tell you, listen, the problem is, you know, the Bible says that if we go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, that we'll doubtless come again, bringing our sheaves with us. And the problem is we've lost our tears. The problem is we've got so caught up in the work that we don't have a walk with God like Mary did. See, Mary, she had a different position. Instead of coming up and looking Jesus eye to eye, she fell on her feet. She reverenced him for who she was, for who he was. And her listen, she was very well in focus. Not that Jesus was God down the road and King of Kings, but he was God today. That he was Christ and the Messiah today. That right today he's where he ought to be. And then, listen, her emotions were not in check. She let everybody realize she was broken for her brother, that she was broken over all the sin and corruption that was in this world. She was broken that he was dead. She believed in Jesus, and she was broken, and she was crying. And listen, other people, her emotions affected other people. Can I tell you, friend, that your emotions will affect other people? If you walk up to the door and, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, everybody, but even in your workplace, you know, they can tell whether what you care about, you know, whatever it is. You know, if you like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're always talking about how they lost and you're mad over the weekend about whatever it is. I mean, you know, whatever it is you're talking about, whatever team it is, you know, if you're like the Gators, you know, whatever it is that you're talking about and you're like enthused about it, they get involved because of your emotions. The same thing is true if you tell a story about something that happened at church. The same thing is true about something that how God dealt with something in your family. If you get excited about how God saved you and you tell them about it. Listen, can I tell you today, people will get involved. And for you, Christian, today, listen, we need to get better about wearing our emotions on our sleeve a little bit more. We need to get a little bit better about being broken over the things that break the heart of God. You see, it wasn't just Mary's emotions. Listen, can I tell you? It wasn't Mary's position that moved Jesus into action. He didn't say anything when she fell at his feet. But when she, listen, called him Lord, it was different than Martha's Lord.
Martha was letting him lord over her in the work. But when Mary called him Lord, it meant master of my life. My all-sufficient one, the supplier of all my needs. It was a different Lord. Not Lord that I serve, but Lord who is the supplier of everything and can take care of all my needs. Listen, and then the emotions, brokenheartedness, that Mary crying, and then the others. You know, those professional weepers that followed her to the grave, bawling, crying with her. They got paid to do that, you know. That's what they did. They followed people around and cried with them. All of a sudden, it was real to Mary, and they were praying and crying with her. But look at the scripture, what it says. You know, when we're broken like that, the Bible says if we go forth weeping, it's going to affect people. Look at it with you. 45, I've got no time to read all the rest of the scripture. Look at verse number 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Can I tell you today, if you read the rest of that passage, you'll see that they not only showed up and followed Mary because of her emotions, but then they got to see what Mary's God, Mary's master, Mary's Lord did in Mary's life by raising her brother from the dead. Can I tell you today, listen, do you know that the world needs to see what your Lord's doing in your life? The same world that you live in needs to see that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. They need to see you break down and weep every once in a while. They need to see you every once in a while. You say, well, I'm a man. Men don't cry. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, nobody had to teach me. When I'm right with my Savior, I'm just going to be honest with you today. When I'm right and I feel blessed and thankful, I can't stop those tears. When I get in that book and I realize what my God had to do for me so that he could save me because of my sin, it breaks my heart and tears run from my eyes onto the pages of that book because I realize that I was wicked and undone and lost without the same Savior that died for you and died for me. Listen, the reason we don't have tears anymore is because we've forgotten what the price, what it cost him. The reason we don't have tears anymore is because we've gotten like Mary. And the work has overwhelmed us, and we've become hardened, and we don't have a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of being Lord, he's Lord, lording over us, and we better do those things that we're supposed to do. Hey, can I tell you today, it's all perspective. Do you know today he's waiting, and he would love for you? It's not a far... Can I illustrate the difference there? You can have a walk with God and still keep the work of God going. But listen, those that are working for God, sometimes you can have a work and not a walk. You can keep up the work on the outside and the walk is gone on the inside. And can I say, listen, I want to illustrate for you, church, and I know that this is deep. You need to get this. You know, this is a Bible college professor. I'm going to give you Bible college professor deep. Theological training is what they trained me for this, okay? The difference between the two is this position. Lord. Kneeling. Whether it be on the inside or the outside, you say, Brother Parsons, is it really like that? I'm just going to tell you, listen, every time for me, sometimes it's just good to set down the work and have a time with God. Because sometimes I get toting the load on my own, and I'm not strong enough to carry the load on my own anymore. You know, I used to be in my 20s, and I thought I could kill. I mean, I thought I was Superman. I really did. My wife says I still think that sometimes. But listen, every one of us figure that out at different ages. But listen, it'd be good for us as a church to figure out that we need the Lord, that we can't carry and shoulder our own burdens on our own. It'd be good for us to get emotional again as a church and weep and cry for lost sinners. Hey, we have a day school, and it's full of sinners. And we had all our teachers come up here, and I know I'm over time, but it's all right. Hey, I was reminded again this week, you know, we don't need to just pray for the teacher that's in the class, but who they're teaching. When was the last time we called out, God help the seventh grade class? They're idiots. And they need that. I mean, you know what? Seventh graders, they don't know really what they are. They're a tween. What does that mean? I don't know. And third, yeah, listen, I'm just telling you, we need to pray not only for our children and our day school, and we need to pray for the buses, but listen, we need to pray for the people that came in on them. So many times we pray, Lord, help the buses get here safely. I love Brother Grafton and how he helps us with the insurance, but listen, we don't need to pray from an insurance perspective every time. I thank God. God helped the engine and the transmission and the wheels to stay on and everybody to, and nobody to hang out the window and to get, you know. But how about God help every one of those kids that came in on that bus today to listen to the preacher when they preach? God help every one of their little hearts to be soft to the word of God. God help us. We've lost our weeping. Today I beg you, church, listen, as we go back to school, let's get back in the position that God wants us to be in, with a heart that's broken for lost souls. This church was founded on that. This church has been built on weeping and just begging God, putting him in his right perspective. Lord, will you help us today to be what we ought to be? Listen, with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, it's not been a salvation message, but we did talk about the resurrection and the life. We did speak of the Jesus that can save if you don't know that you're saved. As we stand to our feet, the musicians are moving to their places. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, would you slip out and make your way to the front? Let somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved. And maybe if you're a Christian here, listen, walking down and changing position is not a thing to be embarrassed about. Every one of us need to do it from time to time. I beg you, listen, come down. If you haven't thought about it in a while, would you come this morning and just walk the aisle and pray for some class? Would you pray for the seventh graders or the eighth graders? Maybe you'd take that mantle up for the year and pray and ask God to help. People are moving with heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Bert's going to sing. Brother Perkins will meet you in the front. If you're here and you need to be saved, would you come as Brother Bert sings? Just